In higher education, there are two kinds of March Madness, the NCAA basketball tournaments, and the anxiety that infects high school seniors as they wait, like forever, for the acceptance letters from their chosen colleges and universities. Raynell Cooper is a senior at Richard Montgomery High School in Rockville, Maryland. He's nervously waiting, too, but he has a unique cause for his anxiety. He had to leave a major detail out of his college applications. Raynell is with me in the studio. Raynell, it's nice to meet you, but what did you have to leave out of your application?
I had to leave out that I'm the winner of the 2011 Jeopardy Teen Tournament.
Why? Why couldn't you include that?
We're sworn to not release our results, and the college application process came right before the airing, so couldn't do anything about it.
Couldn't you even, like, negotiate with Alex? I mean, I know the tournament is taped in December, and it doesn't air until March. I mean, couldn't you have told anybody that those applications were due before the time you could actually let your secret out of the bag?
Yeah, I would have loved to, but I'm just hoping that, you know, there's some Jeopardy fans at my colleges and they're listening to this or saw the show, and that'd be fantastic.
You had to keep this secret for 3 months. What was that like?
It was an experience. I had a lot of friends asking me to try to, you know, get it out of me, but I told no one, not a soul.
Yeah. Well, your top choice for college is George Washington University. Where else did you apply, and have you heard from any of the other schools?
I applied to Clark University in Worcester, Massachusetts. I got in there, got into the University of Vermont and University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Mm-hmm. And I've yet to hear back from the University of Oregon.
Ah, and George Washington University.
And George Washington, of course. Yeah.
How do you train for the teen tournament?
It's a lot of studying. The teen tournament has a lot of it does have, you know, your typical literature, art, things like that, but it also has a lot of pop culture, young adult literature, video games, things like that. And I'm on my school's academic team, so I know a bit of the, you know, literature, science, things like that. So I did a lot of studying of young adult literature. Mm-hmm. My mom kind of drilled me on books that are aimed at teens, because that's what the teen tournament likes to ask a lot about.
Oh, about literature.
Yeah.
How much did you win?
$75,000.
Ooh. What are you going to do with the prize money?
Well, a lot of it's probably going to go to college, but hopefully to a new car. We've yet to decide what make and model, but we'll have to look into that. And then hopefully a trip up to Alaska. I've always wanted to see all the glaciers and mountains.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that.
Raynell Cooper is the Jeopardy Teen Tournament champion and a student at Richard Montgomery High School in Rockville, Maryland. Raynell, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you so much.
The women's teams are playing too. It's their 30th NCAA tournament, and it's shaping up to be a historic one, unless you're in Iowa. Yesterday, number 11 Gonzaga defeated number 6 Iowa, and the Red Foxes of number 10 Marist College out of Poughkeepsie, New York, beat Iowa State. USA Today sports columnist Christine Brennan is in the studio with more on the tournament. Nice to see you again.
Great to see you, Leanne.
You've lamented in print that this is the other tournament. In fairness, it's tough for any team, men or women's, to beat the Butler finish. But apart from that, why can't the women's tournament gain any traction?
Well, that's a great question. And of course, you're saying the word men's, that pesky adjective men's. Most media people, especially mainstream sports media, male-dominated, don't even bother with that. It's just the tournament. It's as if there's only one. And a new flash. There are two. And I think part of it is the men started in 1939. The women just started in 1982. The men are also, it's part of our culture. There are grandmothers in Dubuque and Topeka who are doing brackets who've never seen a men's basketball game. The women's is more sports. And I think it's just that the men cast such a shadow and you know, really block out the sun. So the women don't have the opportunity to really shine.
Well, President Obama has filled out his brackets. He's picking top seed UConn, which faces Hartford this afternoon, to go all the way. Are you with him?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, he picked all four of the top seeds, and I would agree. And two of them played yesterday, as you probably know, and Stanford easily won, beating UC Davis. And Tennessee, actually, was all over Stetson, 99-34. So the two of these top seeds, the two top teams that we think might go to the women's Final Four, Tennessee and Stanford, are already starting their way, their journey, and the other two, Connecticut and Baylor play today.
So if these regional top seeds, UConn, Tennessee, Stanford, and Baylor, make it to the Final Four, it could be the greatest Final Four ever, you say? How so?
Yeah, I think it will be, partially because they're big names. And the thing we were talking about a moment ago, you know, that people don't know. Well, UConn, of course, Connecticut just set the record for the greatest winning streak in NCAA basketball, men's or women's, in December. And so people know them, and Gino Auriemma. So in our cult of personality world in sports, Leanne, you've got Gino, you've got Pat Summitt. They would play Tennessee against Connecticut if they got that far. And then 6'8" Brittany Griner for Baylor, shot-blocking superstar, 6'8". And Stanford, of course, beat UConn earlier this year and stopped the winning streak. So you've got four marquee schools and names there.
But these four marquee schools are perennial powerhouses. Doesn't that bring about a danger that they're so good that other women's teams won't be able to compete? Or are other teams actually seeing some dramatic improvement?
Well, you mentioned it earlier with those two big upsets yesterday. That's the key for the women's game, to not be so predictable. That's why the men are so fascinating, because of those upsets. And I think what we need to see is more depth in women's basketball and all women's sports, so that you see those upsets, the Marists, the Gonzagas, upsetting teams. Then I think more people will be interested to see those upsets.
Well, you'll be watching Hartford and UConn. Any other games?
Yeah, I think Maryland plays today, Georgetown, and as I said, Baylor starts its road as well. So some very interesting games today.
All right. USA Today sports columnist Christine Brennan, thanks so much for coming
in today. Leanne, thank you. My pleasure.